Let's pray before we begin this morning. Gracious God, we thank you for the things that we do not see that you bless us with. We thank you for the things that are obvious to us that you bless us with. We thank you. We thank you, Lord, for your compassion and your mercy, these innate elements of who you are. We thank you, Lord, for your gifts of community, of service. And Lord, we thank you most of all for Jesus, through whom we are all welcomed into the greater kingdom of God. As we study your word this morning, may you enlighten us through the Holy Spirit, that we might understand it with clarity and rightness, and that we may apply it into our own lives. You are good, God, and what you do is good. In the name of Jesus, we pray. Amen. Let's take a minute as we begin our time today to consider some specific stories of Jesus. Will you imagine with me for a moment? We can start by seeing in our own minds Jesus of Nazareth, young, the son of Mary, standing outside near a tomb. His closest friends are near him and he is crying. He stands in the baking hot Judean sun, observing the stone across the entrance of that tomb. The large rock is still and unmoving. Jesus is weeping. His shoulders are shaking, his breath gasping out as tears roll down his face. Perhaps he is being embraced by Nathaniel or by Martha as they stand in grief at the tomb. Another scene. Jesus standing and observing the city of David, Jerusalem, the home to the temple of God, the center of religion, of spiritual life of his people. Jesus has just come down from the Mount of Olives, riding on the colt of a donkey, paraded down the hill in joy. Everyone is here visiting in this town for this important religious festival, a gathering of the people to remember what God has done. And Jesus reaches the bottom of the Mount of Olives and looks up to Jerusalem, sitting on another hill, and he weeps. This should be a moment of joy, a moment of victory, of confidence in the message of God. But instead, there is mourning. Jesus standing, crying. He says, maybe to himself or to those who are gathered, through his tears, he chokes out, "Oh, if only you knew what it looked like for peace to come to you. My beloveds, if only, if only, if only." Our series this summer on the teachings of Jesus leads us to an early part of Jesus' ministry, from the book of Matthew, chapter 5. This is from the most well-known section of Jesus' teachings, called the Sermon on the Mount, and the text that we're reading from is specifically from a portion called the Beatitudes. The word Beatitudes just means blessings, which is a reference to how the sentences start in the Latin as well as the English. Now, if we were making conjectures, perhaps, about how Jesus would begin a large section of his teaching, we would expect it to be instructions. So these blessed are statements would be an instruction for how to live, what kind of people to be. Instead, what we find is that the list is given as a statement of fact. It's not a suggestion for how to live, but a reflection of the reality of the world, a world that Jesus is bringing about. This is a reversal of expectation, as Jesus often does, sometimes called the upside-down kingdom, which takes experiences that are shamed or degraded by the world and turns them into glory. We can also see this another way. The Apostle Paul refers to this as the foolishness of the cross. Without being committed to God, Paul says, the truth of Jesus is nonsense to those who are outside of it. There's also a way in which Jesus is making these statements, and in doing so, desires a new future, one that is yet unknown for the people of God. But maybe we're a bit ahead of ourselves, so let's read our text for this morning. Matthew 5, verse 4, from the New Revised Standard. Blessed are those who mourn, for they will be comforted. Normally, you may have noticed this, I would hesitate to preach from just one verse. And that's not because there aren't some extraordinarily powerful verses in the scriptures, but more that I think seeing a verse within its larger context helps us understand it with greater accuracy. Taking verses out of the scripture and using them to suit our own goals makes us poor students of the Bible, inattentive Christians, and oriented only to our own personal goals. When we determine our thinking and our knowledge of God based on a few isolated verses, we are swimming in waters not inhabited by the Holy Spirit. In our situation today, however, I wanted us to zero in on this particular statement, and then to speak to the larger theme that we find in the New Testament about this, without getting distracted by the great verses that are around this particular verse. The Beatitudes have an immense amount to teach us, just not this morning. Blessed are those who mourn. If we take this statement as a statement of fact, it might be a bit baffling. This is not exactly true in the world around us, right? Mourning is an expression or a processing of grief. It is the emotional and mental and physical reckoning of loss or hardship. Mourning is usually defined as the outward expression of the grief that we experience internally, but they're tied together impossibly close. And there will be times in this sermon that I will use them interchangeably because you cannot understand one without understanding the other. Mourning is often an expression of love, whether that is a love that was shared, that cannot continue because of the loss of someone that you loved, whether it is a love that was not given when it ought to have been, a failure to love or be loved well, whether it is mourning for a different world for your household, for your community, for yourself, for someone you know. To grieve is to mourn. It is an outward demonstration of that which happens inside of us as we experience loss. And this word in the Greek, and at least in the thinking at that time, also contained this concept of someone who cannot be joyful, someone who cannot see joy. This is a concept of mourning, but perhaps one that we as modern Americans are less conscious of. To be weighed down by the struggles of the world, and to be unable to imagine joy in your life is mourning for yourself. A loss that you grieve that is the loss of hope and joy. Personally, you might grieve an injury that leaves you unable to do certain things you hoped that you could, temporary or long-term. You might grieve a friendship that crumbled, but it wasn't anybody's fault. You might grieve a career decision you made, or one that you didn't make. You might grieve a family member's selfish decisions whose consequences you have to bear. You might grieve the ways you wished you had cared more or supported someone better. You might grieve because of the support you wish you had. You might grieve out of your own hopelessness, unable to name that grief, but weighed down by it nonetheless. Mourning is any reaction or reality connected to grief, any expression of our deep, real emotion around our loss. So knowing all of these heavy realities, why does Jesus say, "Blessed are those who mourn"? I want us to hearken back for a moment, to return to our statements about Jesus' choice to start the Sermon on the Mount with not questions, but factual statements. One thing I mentioned is that there is this possibility of the upside-down kingdom, or sometimes called the divine reversal, where Jesus is taking what people thought and turning it on its head. Then, as now, I think Jesus is making a radical statement here, in contrast to the world. Some say that people who mourn are cursed. They have experienced great loss in their life, maybe many great losses. There is no blessing to be found in their grief, and they are condemned to that loss because of their sin. This is the judgment of grief that comes both in the church and in the world. Others say that those who mourn are doing so to demonstrate God's mercy and goodness, that all of the losses they suffered were exclusively to show God's power in the world. There are heavy crosses that they were given to show their determination to glorify God. Jesus says, instead, that neither of these things is true. Mourning is a reality of life, without any moral weight, created not by good actions or by wrong ones. It is a constant phenomenon in the world, inescapable for all people. And because of this, Jesus says that a blessing is to be found in that mourning, a blessing of love and of loss, of suffering and of growth. When we look at this verse and this passage as a whole, I want us to be careful how much weight we put on that word in the middle, the word for. In the English, it can be easy to overstate its importance. It is not because of the coming comfort that people are blessed in their mourning, as if somehow the prize is the comfort that you get at the end. That would make for a terribly vindictive God. Instead, we see these two halves working together to compose a statement of fact. Mourning is a reality of life, and with God there is comfort for those who mourn. After all, if those who were in mourning were condemned or cursed by God, then they would not receive comfort from that same God. It is not a rebuke to be in a place of loss and mourning, Jesus says, but rather a blessing. Remember, we're dealing with not instructions, but statements of fact. This is not Jesus saying, go find some loss in your life and grieve it is the only way to receive God's blessing. Jesus is actually saying, sometimes life is difficult. There are many things to grieve in the world. By experiencing that grief in our mourning, know that God is with you, and that grief is not the end. We do not wish to rush through our grief. To be in mourning is to recognize the reality of what is happening in our world, or in the world. To ignore it, just for the sake of positivity, would also be a sin. Do not falsify your grief, but do not ignore it either. The fake smile mentality is unhelpful for those of us who wish to speak the truth of God in the world. And it is also contrary to Jesus' own actions when he lived on earth. As followers of Jesus, we mourn knowing that Jesus mourned, and that our mourning will not consume us, and that there is comfort to be found because we are not alone. To begin to even believe this teaching of Jesus, we, on our end, have a few things we need to iron out. Overall, neither the church nor the world's conventional wisdom has gotten a lot right about grief and mourning. So there is some unlearning we have to do. Often we have been taught that grief and mourning are negative emotions. Jesus teaches us not to run from them, but to honor them for what they are, realities of a world where things go wrong, but love still ties us together. We also need to not minimize our grief, telling ourselves that we should be over it by now, or that other people have it worse. Allow Jesus' teachings to reach you here. Your grief, no matter how large or small, offers you a blessing, but there is no minimum level of grief required to get it. Once we have begun adopting these mindsets, we can begin to know more deeply what Jesus means in these teachings. If we are aware and unthreatened by our grief and our mourning, we can be open to God's comfort. The Holy Spirit is called the Comforter in John 14. 2 Corinthians tells us that our comfort abounds in Christ, and that God the Father is the Father of compassion and the God of all comfort, who comforts us in all our troubles. When we are mourning, we are never far from the comfort of God. Not in order to remove our grief, but to join us in our grief. For us in this week, what way can we apply this new thinking, this new belief in God's comfort? Well, I'm going to suggest a simple practice, simple in function, not perhaps in application. As you take each day, as you meet its challenges and its difficulties, when you find yourself in a place of mourning and of loss, remind yourself of what you believe to be true, even if you cannot feel it. If you find yourself wishing for someone you've lost in your life, whether by death, by time, by distance, and you feel that grief rise in your throat, remember, Jesus mourned too. My grief is a reality and a blessing. There is comfort to be found in God. If you're struggling with your arthritic knees for the third time in 3 days, and you mourn the loss of mobility that you once had, take a moment to say to yourself, Jesus mourned too. My grief is a reality and a blessing. There is comfort in God. If you spend your days watching someone you love struggle day in and day out with no peace and no respite, keep in your mind, Jesus mourned too. My grief is a reality and a blessing. There is comfort to be found in God. God knows the realities of the world. And because of those challenges, God has promised comfort to us. God knew these realities in the person of Jesus Christ and continues to remain with us, comforting us in our grief, offering us a blessing in our mourning, not just in what comes after.
You've been listening to me, Pastor Kana Moore, at Hayes Christian Church. Hayes Christian Church is a non-denominational fellowship in Hayes, Kansas. We are supported by the generosity of our members, attenders, and friends. The financial support we raise goes to projects which further spread the gospel to those who do not yet know Jesus, to those local, national, and international missions, and they help keep these podcasts free. If you would like to share a monetary gift with us, please visit our website at hayeschristianchurch.org and click on the donate button. Or you may mail your gift to P.O. Box 1111, Hayes, Kansas, 67601. If you have any questions, comments, or would like more information, we would love to hear from you. Simply go to our website and click on the Contact Us form. Thank you for your generosity, and may God bless you as you seek to follow Him.